be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and I'm looking now across the river to where my faith will end in sight. There's just a few, just a few more days to labor, then I will take my heavenly flight. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Jones, and praise God for heaven and something to look forward to after this sorry life. Amen? Well, you say, what's so sorry about it? I'm kind of enjoying it. Well, if you're enjoying this life and this world, you're not going to enjoy heaven very much when you get there. You say, why not? Because it ain't nothing like this. It ain't nothing like this. For a believer, you know what? I just decided I'm going to try to live as though a little bit of heaven on earth. And try to live for God and praise God and just enjoy being saved. Well, take your Bible, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read one verse this morning. In 1 John chapter number 2. Once you find your place, would you stand with me? Out of love and respect for the reading of the wonderful, precious, glorious, preserved, inspired, holy words of Almighty God. Say, preacher, tell us what you believe about the Word. I just did. Here we go. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21. John, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, writes this: I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. I want you to notice this. He says, but I've written unto you, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. I want you to go back and look. He says, I'm writing this epistle unto you, not because you don't know the truth. He says, I'm writing this because ye know it. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I preached a message from this pulpit on Sunday morning entitled, God Knows. I want to preach this morning a sequel to that, except it's entitled, You Know. God knows, but can I say there's some things about this morning that you know about yourself and about what's going on. As a matter of fact, some of us know more than we let on to be. We know more about this word than we let on. And I want to take that passage of Scripture and preach to you, You Know. Father, bless our time. Would you move in this service like never before? Would you, Holy Ghost, would you move up and down the pews and the aisles and the hearts of people? Father, people are here today because they want to hear something from God. They want to hear something from heaven. They want a message, Lord, for their heart and their life that they can live by today. And I pray that as the preaching goes forth, that the Word of God would fall on fertile ground today and take root in the hearts of those that are here under the sound of my voice. Now, Father, would you move in a way today that people might be saved, lives changed, and we'll give all the glory and we'll give all the praise to Jesus, for it's in His name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated. Some time ago, I read a funny story about a pet shop owner that had a parrot, and he had trained this parrot to be able to greet people as they came into the pet store. And he began to teach the parrot how to say, good morning, welcome. And he taught him just some little simple phrases about thank you for coming in. Just little simple phrases. And he took that parrot and trained him to where that parrot understood and could repeat back to him what he had taught him. So he took that parrot and he set it by the front door. And as customers would come into the pet store, the parrot would look at them and say, good morning. Or the parrot would say, as they left, thank you. And so people would pass by, and the line was two or three deep, and there was a lady in line there, and each person, that parrot would say thank you, or come back, or good morning. And this lady came up to the parrot, and as she passed by, he said, you're ugly. She looked at that parrot, and she said, what? He said, I said, you're ugly. Boy, she got upset. She stormed off and went into the pet store and just thought, well, it's just a dumb bird. And so she went shopping around the pet store, and she made her way back up to the front, and she just kind of cruised past the parrot again, and the parrot said, you're ugly. Boy, she's really upset this time. She went back to the pet store owner. She said, I want to know who the owner of this store is. They said, well, he's back there in his office. She banged on his door and said, I want to tell you something. That parrot that you got up the front has told me on two different occasions, I walked through the door, that parrot told me I was ugly. She said, now you do something about that parrot, or you're going to wish you had never owned this store. Well, I'll tell you one thing, that owner went up to the front, he grabbed that parrot by the neck. He said, listen here. He said, I taught you what to say. Don't you ever say that again to anybody. Parrot said, okay. So the parrot sat there by the door, the woman went, she checked out, and she walked by the parrot, she thought, now this will do him good. She walked by that parrot, she looked at him, the parrot just looked at her and said, you know. Can I say something to you together this morning, folks? There are things that you know. Yeah, there's things that you know. Hey, we don't let on to a lot of things that we do know, that we have to be honest in our heart. May I say to you this morning that God has given each of us a mind to store information, and that we've acquired this information throughout our entire lifetime. Millions and millions of bits and pieces of information have been logged in to our memory over our lifetime. And by the way, these little bits and pieces of information assist us in making proper decisions in life, such as things that have been logged in our mind as a child. You touch a hot eye of the stove, guess what happens? You get burned. Now, if you want to test that out, you can, but it will be true every time. You touch the eye, you will be burned. Now, you know what your mind does? Your mind logs in that after two or three times, if you test it and think that you're the exception to the rule, you test it, every time you do, you'll be burned. And pretty soon, your mind's going to log in, don't touch that anymore, because that'll burn. Some of these young children, as they get into school in K-4 and K-5, they're taught that 1 + 1 = 2. Do you know that there's a generation being raised up trying to make 1 + 1 = 3? They're trying to change the concepts and principles. And yet 1 + 1 is going to 2, and that's all it will ever mean. That's all it will ever be. Hey, when I stepped on an elevator yesterday, you know what? I stepped on the elevator, or I stepped up to the elevator. It had a little arrow doing this, had another little arrow doing this. And you know which way I wanted to go? I wanted to go this way. So guess which arrow I push? My mind says, push the one that's doing this. And you know which one I pushed? That one. And you know what the elevator did? It opened up. I got on. Guess which way I went? I went up. Why? That information had been logged into my brain and telling me which arrow to push. There are certain numbers on U.S. dollar bills that mean certain things. Amen? I figured I'd just get a little carnal for just a moment since everybody getting a little quiet on me. Hey, we understand that a $1 bill is not near as important as a $100 bill. See, why? Our minds log that in. Can I say to you today that 110 degrees is hot, whether it's dry heat or wet heat? Where these people get away with saying, well, it's 110, but it's dry heat. Baloney, it's 110. It's hot, man. You know where my brain's logging in? 110's hot. Give a flip whether it's wet or dry. Now, I want to say this information is gathered over the course of time through instruction, through observation, or personal experience. You see, all of the data that's been logged into our brains is still there and can be accessed at your will anytime. Let me prove my point. Some of you this morning, even as you sat here, your mind pulled up information that happened a long time ago. Now, with a group this size, I promise you that's happened at least to somebody at least one time. You woke up this morning maybe, and you were eating breakfast, and maybe your mind drifted back to when you were a kid eating the same breakfast. You see, that information that's been logged here is there and will always be there. All the things that we've ever done, whether good or bad, are logged into our and coded into our mind and our memory bank. You see, you and I, everything that we've seen, everything that we've heard, everything that we've touched, everything that we've smelt has been logged into our brain. Let me prove it again. How many know what a skunk smells like? Okay, but, well, if y'all don't know what a skunk smells like, if y'all will come up here and see me, we got some that kind of prowl around the property here one time. I'll poke one of them one time, get you to, that way it'll log into your brain. You know how you know what a skunk smells like? Because you smelt it before. And you know what your brain did? It logged it in. Have you been riding down the road, and all of a sudden you went, oh, it's a skunk, right? How did you know that? It's been logged in up in that cranium somewhere, coded in. How do you know what different types of fabric feel like? Why? Because you've touched them before. It's logged in. How did you know what different types of birds look like? Why? Because you've seen it. You've heard it. It's logged in. Glory to God. How do you know what a jalapeno pepper tastes like? Because it's logged in, brother. Tell you one thing. There was some hot sauce I ate the other day that had some of them habaneros in there. You know what it did in my mind? It logged in. Don't ever eat this again. And it's logged in to my brain. Now, all of these things you know because you got the information. By instruction, by observation, or by personal experience. So, am I correct to say this morning that you do know? You do know. You see, if we were honest with ourselves, again, we know more about what's going on than we choose to admit or let on to be. You see, a lot of times I think what happens in our minds so that we can just put it off and not address it, what we do is we activate the mental antivirus system that goes in and keeps us from thinking about certain things so we don't have to be mindful of it. But can I say this to you? You still know. You still know. Now, with that said, I want to talk to you and give you a few things this morning that I'm going to show you from Scripture that you know. You say, well, I didn't know I knew it. Well, but you do know. And I want to show you one of them here. Take your Bible, 1 John chapter 4. Now, if you're still there in 1 John 2, just flip over a page or two. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. Okay, 1 John 4 verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Listen to this next statement. God is love. Everybody agree with that? All right, then you know something? You know God loves you then, right? If he is love and he's no respecter of persons, guess what this morning? You know that God loves you. He cares about you. He desires a relationship with you. He said, oh, preacher, prove that God loves me. Well, first of all, he gives us wonderful and beautiful places that we can go and visit. Amen. Hey, would everybody agree that the creation of God is beautiful? Man, I'm telling you, I've been to some places I thought, Lord, just rapture me from right here. Just take me up. And I've tried. Hey, it's so beautiful, man. I mean, I've been to some places that were absolutely incredible. You know what? All that was made by the hand of God. And you know what he did? He allowed us to participate in it. He allowed us to enjoy it. You know what he's saying? I love you. Here, enjoy this beautiful scenery. Hey, for those of you that love hunting, you know what? He's given us deer to hunt. Some of you must not be hunters. Hey, he gives us deer to hunt. Okay, I hit the wrong chord. He gives us fish to catch. How about that? Hey, you know what? It's proof God loves us because he gives us all of these wonderful things and allows us to participate in them. The lady said, you ain't even relating to me. All right, he gives us places to shop. How about that? And money to spend. Hey, listen, every lady in here should have said, amen. Hey, you know God loves you. Listen, can I say this? Somebody had to prove or somebody had to mess your mind up to try to prove to you God don't love you. You see, you had to be deprogrammed from that because you know that he does. All you have to do is look around. Can I say something else that he proved? He proved it to you because he's had mercy on your life. He's had mercy on your life. Most of us, if we said, you know what? Are you surprised that you even made it this far in life? You know what? I'd have to raise my hand. Because God has had mercy on me over and over and over and over. Can I tell you, you know why? Because he loves you. And he, as a loving father, was willing to extend mercy to you and not give you what you and I do deserve. He's had mercy on our life. Hey, he's proved it by being patient and long-suffering. God been patient, long-suffering with everybody in here? God, okay, let me put this down where God given you more than one chance in things? Absolutely he has. He's given you more opportunities and more opportunities. You know why? Because he wants a relationship with you. He loves you. He's long-suffering and patient with you. He's merciful. Can I say also that he's proved it by answered prayer? Glory to God. Look over here and see Mrs. Cavendish. You won't listen. I started to have her come up and give a testimony. If I did, I wouldn't have got to preach this morning. You got something to thank God for? Hey, let me tell you something. This lady right here is shouting for the glory of God. Why? Because God gave her son. God gave her son back, strong and healthy, on his way home today. Glory. Hey, you know what? What I'm saying is God proves he loves us by answered prayer. By answered prayer. Hey, let me give you one more into this. Just simply say this. Let me tell you somewhere else he proved his love. On a cross over 2,000 years ago. For God, he didn't just love, the scripture said, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What more can you do to prove your love than to give the very thing that you love more than anything ever? Gave his only begotten son. Wonder how many of us parents this morning would volunteer one of our kids a life for a life. Most of us say, you're nuts. Giving my kid for nobody. God gave his son for you. You know what that proved? That he loves you. In spite of ourselves. In spite of our condition, in spite of our past, he was willing to give his only begotten son. You say, preacher, how do I know that he loved me? Because Jesus, when he died 2,000 years ago, took your sins and my sins upon himself and became sin for you. And provided a way back to the Father. Provided a way of salvation for you to come back to him and restore that relationship that was blown up in the Garden of Eden. By the way, Satan blew that relationship up. And you know what he's trying to do this morning? He's trying to blow your relationship with God up. Constantly trying to blow it up. But I'm here to tell you, you know that God loves you. Don't ever allow Satan to convince you otherwise. Hey, you and I cannot escape the evident truth that God loves you. Take your Bible now, if you would, and go to Romans chapter 7. I want to tell you something else we know. Not only do we know that God loves us, I want you to look in Romans chapter 7, if you would. Romans 7 and verse 14. Romans 7, verse 14. God says, and Paul writing here, inspiration of the Holy Ghost says, for we know. He said, what does he know? Look what he knows. That the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Oh boy, these are ugly words, these last three. Sold under sin. You know what else we know? We know not only that God loves us, but number two, we know that we've sinned against a loving God. We know that. You say, well, I don't know. Yeah, you do, because it's instilled in you the day you were conceived in your mother's womb. Yeah, that knowledge of sin. Yes, we've sinned against a holy God. Look down at verse number 18. Paul continues. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, what did he say? I find not. He said, I know that I've sinned against a holy God. Let me say to you this morning, folks, we know who we are and we know what we've done. Everybody in here knows who you are and you know what you've done. We've sinned against a holy God. When are we going to admit that's who we are? That's what we are. Listen, the first step to salvation is just admitting the truth. Admitting what you already know. We know that we sinned against a holy God. We know that our sins and our sin, and we don't understand what sin does to us and how it makes us feel. Anybody here, does sin make you feel good? Listen now, it may make you feel good in flesh, but it sure don't make you feel good in spirit. Do you know most of the people in here, if I had you give a testimony about sin, you know what sin's brought you to the place? It's brought you to the place to where you hate yourself. Come on, talk to me now. I said it brings you to the place where you hate yourself. You know why you do that? You know how you know? Because you know that that sin offends God. It's instilled in you. The knowledge of God is in you. Listen, folks, that's the reason in practicality, there is no such thing as an atheist. Because the knowledge of God is in them. And you know what? They know. They're just trying to tell all the rest of us, they're just trying to prove all the rest of us what they're trying to prove is there is no God, but the problem is they can't. And they know there is. Now what I'm saying to you is we know what sin does to us and how it makes us feel. We know that sin does not please God, and we know as a child of God, if we are a child of God, we know that if we sin, we know how to take care of that sin according to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from, how much? All unrighteousness. That's the privilege of a child of God. You see, you know how to get right with God. All you got to do is confess it. You go to Him and confess it and say, I have sinned. I have offended you. Now, this morning, if you know not Christ, then how do you take care of your sin? You come boldly before that throne of grace and you say, Father, I have sinned. I acknowledge that I've sinned. I know that Jesus is the Son of God. And salvation is only in Him. Hey, we cannot deny sin in our lives. We know what sin is. And we know, listen, we know when it happens in our life. We know. So don't tell me we don't know. Yes, you do know. You know that God loves you. You know that we've sinned against God. Oh, let me say also that we also know that death's coming for us. Yeah, He's coming. For some of us, you know what? He's going, let me in. I'm not ready yet. For some of us, he's ready to come get us. Yeah, we know that. Anybody in here, somehow, somewhere along the line, grabbed a hold of the false belief that you're going to live in this body forever? You're not going to live in this body on this earth forever. You're going to die. And you know what? As much as I try to avoid death, I can't. You say, well, bless God, preacher, what I'm going to do is I'm going to exercise. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to do all these things, and I'm going to live to 100. Well, you know what? I'm not against exercise, and I'm not against eating right. None of that stuff's what I'm concerned about. You know what I'm concerned about? I can't control how people drive. Amen. I can't control that. I can be as healthy as I want, but I can't control all these drivers out there. Sitting at an intersection yesterday. Normally, I don't look in my rearview mirror. But I looked in my rearview mirror, and I saw this little car coming up. And as it got closer, I noticed his head was down, and he was doing this. And I think, he ain't going to stop. And about that time, the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of that guy. He looked up just in time, and guess what it was? The back end of that Tundra looking him right in the face. And you know what he did? I imagine he was like, oh, what's the old boy, Fred Flintstone? He stopped that puppy, man. His feet were on the ground. I guarantee you, he was almost on the street pushing that brake. But I thought, hey, and you're sitting at the intersection, people on both sides of you. You know what? I just grabbed the steering wheel. I thought, okay, Lord, he's fixing to hit your truck. And I just watched him, and sure enough, he stopped. And I always love it when they do, aah! And they go. You know what I mean? Had a lady the other day pull out in front of me, and I mean, my light's green. You know, and she pulled out in front of me, and I hit the brakes, and I go, when it, and she goes, I know you're sorry, but lady, me and you almost went to see Jesus over this. Hey, I'm just saying, you know what we know? We know death is coming. Why? Because according to Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, boom, judgment. We know this. We know we're going to die. Then may I say to you tonight, you are no exception to the rule. You're not going to live forever in this body. You are going to check out someday, just like I'm going to check out someday. Now, I got some news for you. You don't get to decide when you're checking out. My wife and I are fixing to go on a little trip here and enjoy our 32nd anniversary. We got hotels. We got everything here. Do you know what? And I get to decide when I'm going to check out because I went online and told them when I'm checking out. And they sent me a confirmation, said, you're arriving on this day. You check out on this day. Why? I decided all that. But you know, with my life, I don't get to decide when I check out. Well, you might check out today. I might. And glory to God for it. Hey, I'll feel for my wife and kids, but you know what? I'm going to be with Jesus. Hey, I'm just saying to you, I know that death is coming. I'm no exception. It can happen at any time. I only have one life to live, and I need to live it right. Hey, you know that you must make a decision about your soul while you're alive, because after you're dead, boom, that's a judgment. We don't get, folks, after we die, there are no second chances. There are no third chances. There are no 50th chances. Once you breathe your last breath of life, listen to me, you know all decisions final. And you had to make them while you were alive. You know this. You already know this. So I'm not telling you anything you don't know. John said, I'm writing this to you, not that you don't know the truth. He says, but that you do know. You know it. You know the truth. You know God loves you. You know that we sin against God. And you know that death is coming. If we know this, folks, listen, why do we live so carelessly? Why do we live so sumptuously? Why do we live so disobediently? Why do we live so unlovingly and unfaithfully and lazily? Why do we live so immorally? We know that death is coming. And we know we're going to have to face God one day. You see, the reality of death and eternity, of facing God, for some reason hasn't made its impact on very many people today. Even though they already know, they know that it's coming. Matter of fact, some of you college students and some of you elementary and junior and high school students, you know what August 22nd means, don't you? Yeah, you know what August 22nd means? You say, what does that mean, preacher? It means you're going back to school. It means you're going to school. It means school's going to open, and everybody's going to be happy, and the buses are going to be running everywhere and picking kids up, and all the parents are going to say, amen. Now, let me give you one more. I'm just saying, you know that God loves you. You know that we've sinned against God, and we know that death is coming. Let me just say this morning. Everybody in here, you know if you've been truly born again or not. Now, I don't know. Because, see, the Scripture says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. You know whether you've been born again or not. You say, well, preacher, I think I've been born again. I've been wearing a suit since I've been in elementary school. I've worn a suit to church. I've got my tie on. So what does that have to do with salvation? What is a certain way that we dress? What does that have to do with being saved? Now, we ought to dress right because we are saved. But what I'm saying is that doesn't have anything to do with being saved. You say, well, my membership's here. What does that have to do with anything? You mean to tell me if Jesus split the eastern sky here at, it's 1130. At 1131, you mean to tell me, you say, oh, preacher, I don't have a question. Everybody here would be with Jesus. Everybody here would meet him in that eastern sky. Now, listen to me. I hope everybody would, but I don't know. But you do know. You know. And you've been putting this off because of fear or whatever it may be. Listen to me very carefully. Remember in Acts chapter 26 when Paul came before Agrippa? Remember that? Remember he gave the plan of salvation and gave his testimony, and he comes to Acts 26 and verse number 27, and he told Agrippa, he said, you believe the prophets? And then he said, I know you believe. He said, I know you do. You were brought up in the finest of schools. You're the king. He said, I know you believe. You know what he said? He was telling Agrippa, he said, I know you know the way to be saved. I know you know how to be. Listen, I'm not questioning whether you know how to be saved. I said, are you? Because you know. You know that you've got to be born again. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot. You know if the Holy Spirit is in you or not, according to 1 John 3:24 and 1 John 4:13. Because the Scripture says if the Spirit of God's not in you, you're none of His. And you know whether you're saved. Listen, every kid in here this morning knows where they've been born again. Every one of these teenagers sitting down front, you know you're either saved or you're not. And you know it just as sure as I'm speaking. You know it. Let me tell you something, folks. I'll just be honest with you. Don't go to hell for anybody. Don't go to hell for anybody. You know what? God loves you. You understand where you are in your life. You know what He's willing to do? He's willing to forgive you and save your soul. And you know whether you've been born again or not. You know whether you have a love for God. You know whether you love His Word, His church, or His people. You know, I get concerned about people who say they're believers and don't want to be around believers. Amen. That love the world more than they love the people of God. There's something wrong with that. Because you know what? The thing about it is, when I got saved, you know what God gave me a love for? He gave me a love for the people of God. And you know who I feel most comfortable around? The people of God. I don't feel comfortable around the carnal crowd. I don't feel comfortable around the world. And people who say, well, you know what? I just feel more comfortable out there. Then you better check up on what you're calling salvation then. Because according to the Scriptures, you shouldn't feel comfortable out there. Hey, you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know whether or not you're being convicted in your heart. And may I say to you this morning, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 8, that you know whether you're a child of God based on the chastisement of God in your life. Boy, I tell you one thing. Growing up, I didn't get spankings. I got whoopings. Anybody here know what a whooping is? Man, I'm telling you. And my dad knew how to give them too. My dad's in his 70s today. And I'm telling you, he tore me up so many times. And you know what? The thing about it is probably didn't tear me up enough. Probably didn't get on to me. Probably didn't discipline me enough. Because listen, I promise you, I disobeyed far more than what I got disciplined for. And I'm telling you, you know what? I noticed that my dad never went. I could say, but Billy next door, he made me do it. But you know who got the whipping? I tell you who got the whipping. I did. Billy didn't get it. Why? Because Billy wasn't daddy's. Guess who got it? I did. Why? Because I belong to daddy. It's the reason I got spanked. It's the reason I got disciplined. And can I say to you this morning, if you claim to be a child of God and you have disobeyed and you've never experienced the discipline of God, I'm here to tell you, check up on who your daddy is. Check up on what you're calling salvation. Because you may be illegitimate. You may have been an imposter, resembling somebody that's not genuine. Well, everybody in here will know if you've been born again, because you'll never forget the encounter. You know, growing up in my life, I've come in contact with some professional athletes. Never forgot it. See his hand right here? That hand right there has shaken some hands of professional athletes. And boy, I remember as a kid, I'd stick that hand in my pocket. I'm not going to wash that hand for a while. But you know, I never forgot it. But you know, most of us in here that have come in contact with what we would consider celebrities of the world, most of us will never forget. Matter of fact, we were there and got our picture taken with it and got the t-shirt to go with it. We never forgot it. Listen to me. Everybody look up here now. If you've met Jesus, you'll never forget it. Listen, I don't remember the place and the time I met some of these people, but I've never forgot that I met them. Never forgot it. I didn't write down the time. I didn't write down the place. But I'll tell you today, I've never forgotten the experience. And the reason that I know I've never forgotten the experience, because when I got saved, the scripture said the Holy Ghost of God, according to John 14:26, came into me. Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, listen now, and bring all things to your remembrance. He's in you, according to Romans chapter 8, crying, Abba, Father. You say, well, I ain't never heard that before, because if you hadn't, he ain't there. You see, the Spirit, the Scripture says, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:16. Now let me finish up and say this. No Spirit of God, no salvation. No conviction, no chastisement, no salvation. And you know, this morning, you know God loves you because he's been patient, long-suffering. He sent you here this morning. Some of you came this morning because God convicted you in heart about your salvation. That's the reason you came. Don't leave without it. Don't leave without it. You know God loves you. You know that our sin is against a holy God. You know death is coming. And you know tonight whether you've been born again or not. You know. Don't leave here today without getting what you came for. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say today, preacher, no question in my mind, I'm a born-again believer. I know I can. I'm thinking of it right now with my head bowed and eyes closed. I'm thinking about my salvation experience. I remember it and thank God for it. How many can say, preacher, that's me. Won't you lift your hand way up high? Say, I'm a born-again believer, no question about it. I'm saved and I've been born into the family of God. All right, you can put your hands down. The Father, you've seen the people of God raise their hand as a testimony because they know, and they know for sure that they've experienced the born-again believing experience in Jesus Christ. They've embraced the grace of God. And my prayer is this morning, Lord God, that you would have your way in this invitation time. Please, please show yourself great once again. Have thine own way. Thank you for all that you've done in our hearts and lives together. And we pray that you would show yourself mighty once again during this time. Convict, we pray. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. There might be one or two here this morning say, "Preacher, I do have some doubt about my eternal life. I have some doubt about whether I'm saved or not, am I born again, whether I've been born again or not, but I want to know so bad. I want to know, preacher, but I don't know right now. If I died today, I'd go to heaven." But you'd say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I want to know. I want to know." I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me." Slip it up. Slip it up. Say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I want to know." I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know." Slip it up, slip it up. Say, "Preacher, pray for me." Anybody like that? God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody will join this one. Just slip it up. Say, "Preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Please, please pray for me." All right, maybe you're here this morning. You've already been saved. You've already had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. And you'd say, "Preacher, but I cannot honestly, or after I've been saved, I have not been scripturally baptized according to the Scriptures. Would you pray for me?" Anybody like that? I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, "I've already been saved but never been baptized, preacher." Anybody like that? You say, "I know it's the right thing to do. Pray for me. I need to take care of business for God." Anybody like that? All right, now with heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you one more thing. How many would say today, "Preacher, would you pray for me? There's a lot of things I know as a Christian that I should be doing, but I'm not doing them. I know what to do. It's not that I don't. I know what to do, and I'm just not doing them right now. And I need prayer that I can get my life on track and do the right thing." I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, "That's me. That's me, preacher. I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm just not doing it." Don't be bashful. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up all over the auditorium. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, my prayer is this morning, please move among the people of God. And Lord, those that need to be saved this morning, that you would convict. This morning, that you would bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ. Father, it's not what we don't know, it's what we do know and we don't practice. And Father, we need to be better followers. We, as a child of God, those that are here that know that they're saved, Lord, we've got to be better witnesses. We've got to be a better testimony for Thee. Please, Lord God, don't let us become apathetic and lethargic when it comes to the propagation of the gospel and telling people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, please don't let us become lazy about our Christianity and become to a place, Lord, and apathetic about our joy. Lord, we ought to be shouting, thanking God for what you've done in our life. And I pray, Lord, that you would extend grace and mercy once again upon this congregation. And some need to be baptized. Some need to be saved. Some, Lord, need to come, whatever their case may be, this morning and make right those areas of our life that we might be better servants and better followers of Thee. And we commend the invitation into your hands this morning. But we ask it all in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask the instruments to begin to play. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to sing. And as you do, would you come? If you raised your hand, say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. This is your opportunity to come." You come. You come. If you raised your hand, we've got people that take time out and show you how to be saved. You come ahead. Come ahead. Come on. Come on. You come. Whatever your need is, you come. If you just need someone to pray with you, you come. Come ahead. Some of you need to be baptized. You've already been saved. Would you come? This is your opportunity. God sent you here today with that on your heart. Don't leave without taking care of business for God. Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity. You come. You come. We've got, if you're a lady, we've got ladies that'll talk to you, pray with you. You come. Whatever your need is this morning.